Welcome, everybody. This is BNP Weekly, episode 106. It is 23rd of November, 2020. And before we go to our visitor this week, a quick recap. BNP Weekly is all about the latest in Microsoft 365 platform, including the Microsoft messaging and the community messaging. Once a week recording, unless we'll have a holiday break. Will we have a holiday break, Waldeck?
I don't know. Sure.
Maybe at some point. And my name is Vesa Juvonen, and I'm a program manager from the OneDrive SharePoint team, and with me as a co-host is Waldeck. Who are you?
Hi, everybody. My name is Waldeck Mostegas. I am cloud developer advocate at Microsoft. And today we have a guest from Belgium, business apps MVP, I reckon, Mr. Serge Luca.
Hello, welcome, everybody. How are you? Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Serge, you've been around for a long time. Can you talk about your, let's say, background? Because I think, well, like with so many other people, you come from a SharePoint background, unless I'm completely mistaken, and then you ended up being something else.
Yes, exactly. I was a .NET MVP a while ago, and then indeed since 2003, I start working with SharePoint. So I became SharePoint MVP a bit later, then Office 365, and then business platform, which makes me very happy, by the way.
Why is that?
Well, actually, to be honest, I left. Well, I didn't leave, but I kind of left programming in SharePoint with the add-in. Yep. So the add-in story was confusing at that time. So no SP.
It's highly confusing. It's
but
okay.
Yes. So.
But now you are then concentrating more on the Power Platform side, or is it everything in Power Platform, or what is your specialty?
Yes, it's everything in Power Platform. So actually, my name is Dr. Flo, but I do both Power Apps and Power Automate, and usually on top of Microsoft 365. So I try to leverage the SharePoint Online, Teams, etc. So that's my focus.
You said actually something interesting. Usually on top of Microsoft 365. What is the alternative? Do we want to educate our listeners?
No, because no, it depends on the data storage. Some people who come from a Dynamics environment used to use the CDS.
Yeah.
But most of my customers are actually a customer working in an Office 365 environment. They have document, they have metadata, they want to automate things. So that's why my focus is on there. But there are many different type of customers. Yes.
And for the past years, we've been obviously heavily as a Microsoft, we've been heavily investing on the Power Platform. And just, can you talk about your, let's say, perception or feelings about the transition within the past years? It's been pretty amazing when you think about where we started with Power Automate and Power Platform like 3 years ago or 5 years ago. And now it seems to be in everywhere.
Almost 4 years, yes. So what is very interesting is that we have more and more Microsoft 365 connectors. And the SharePoint connectors are still the first-class citizen.
Yep.
Okay, so we have more and more SharePoint features, and now more and more Teams features, integration in the Power Platform. And now we have Oakdale, which is the mixture of Power Platform and Teams, which make this Microsoft 365 environment more important than before. So we have more and more connectors, more and more integration. So that's really, really cool. So we can make some serious business in there. Yeah.
Can you clarify what is Oakdale? So, because you said, just for those who are not aware, obviously.
Yes. Actually, in the Power Platform, there is a native database which we call CDS, the Common Data Service, which require a premium license, which was kind of expensive, right? And now Microsoft moved this CDS into Team, so people want to create a Team application can benefit from CDS for free. There are some limitations. So knowing the limitations is, of course, very important in terms of capacity, in terms of security model, etc. But still, that makes the CDS very, very, very attractive. So we don't have to deal with SharePoint list. So many customers still using SharePoint list, even for complex application. But in some cases, CDS is more important, more interesting. So for big application, yes. So you can play on different parts, options. Different areas, different options. So no, you can choose. I mean,
so the one thing I wanted to ask, right, a while back, I believe you were the first one to come up with a concept like how would you authenticate from a flow towards graph, right? Because like back then, I think there weren't whole connectors. So you, if you wanted to do anything with Graph, like you would need to do your whole OAuth flow, which for, let's say, a person without developer background is not or trivial. Right. So where do we stand with that today? Do we still need these, like implementing your own OAuth flow in flows, or is there easier way to tap into Graph from flows?
No, as long as you define your application in Azure, I mean, you just pass the Azure information and that's it. That's quite straightforward. But people, of course, need to know what is an application in Azure and what are the different permissions that they can use. But it's very easy nowadays, I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
But you still need to have the permission to register an application to Azure to make things happen.
Right. Which in many companies can be an issue.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can take some time before you get the authorization to do that or to find a person who can do that. Yes.
Yeah. 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 I think that's one of the areas where somehow in Microsoft we need to, let's say, fine tune or polish the process, because a lot of our tools are just assuming that, hey, just register an application ID and security, and here's automation how to do that. Just click here. But it's like, yeah, but I don't have permissions to do that. There's like two persons in my company who has the permissions to do
exactly.
That. So we need to somehow in Azure AD or somehow differentiate, maybe. I don't know how to do this in practice, but we need to simplify this.
That's an issue when you use a Power Platform, because these people using a Power Platform want to do everything themselves. Okay, so that they can do almost everything, including the database, whatever. If you use a CDS, you don't need SQL Azure. You don't need to ask people who manage SQL Azure. You can do that on your own.
Yeah.
But indeed, when you have to deal with a Graph, that's a blocking situation, because it can take a week or two before you get the authorization. You have to change your architecture document. You have to convince tons of people. So it all depends on the company, of course. But sometimes you have to go through different committee to get the authorization. Yes.
But I guess in a way, it is an interesting point, right? Because like you would think, like if you look at Graph, it has kind of these two types of data you can access, right? It has your own stuff, like your own meetings and calendar and files and whatnot. And then there's everything else, like files from a random site or search that goes across a tenant. Like you could even think that, like, what if there was the notion of a personal AAD app that can only have access to personal or that for which you can grant only the personal scopes, and with that you can only access your own data, and as such it doesn't require the scrutiny that you would have otherwise for a full-blown AAD that can do anything you want, right?
Yes, true. That's correct, yes.
We need to work on that one, certainly in Microsoft. I think there's still so much improvements on this area, but we've gone a long way already, right?
Yeah.
So and moving away from the old ACS model and permission model, adding model which freaked out a lot of people, and then people moved away, which is understandable. It wasn't super clean. And moving to the write to the Microsoft 365 application and then simplify that process, but still the scopes are too wide,
broad,
so to say.
Too broad.
Too broad. It's certainly the right way of saying that. So the resource-based consent is now coming for Teams. It is being worked on for SharePoint as well, and the similar model, we can then grant permissions in a much more smaller set of entities, which is really good. Now, coming back on, we kind of threw away CDS and SharePoint and lists and SQL Server, but search, why would you be interested? What's the difference? What's the decision matrix for data
for
storage?
SharePoint
versus SQL Server versus CDS.
CDS.
Yes.
Well, actually, currently, I did create a tool called the BPM Toolkit. So, which is a tool that allows people to create or to manage complex business process either on SharePoint or in the
Common
Data Service.
Which, by the way, we should have an article on that one. I need to actually quickly find it.
And so, some of my customers want to use SharePoint. Why? Because they don't have to buy premium license to every employee. Just the price is an issue. But now, the CDS can also be used as a free option in Teams. So why would they use CDS instead of SharePoint list? Well, first, the relation model, of course, of CDS is stronger than the one in SharePoint. So because in CDS, you have automatic management of one to many and many to many. You have transactions as well. You don't have the, for instance, the permission limitation that we have in SharePoint. So in some application, especially in my BPM toolkit, there are some limitations in terms of unique permission. When you deal with HR data, every row must be uniquely secure.
Right.
You see? So if you have a lot of HR data somewhere, plus the transaction linked to the SharePoint data, I mean, you will reach the hard 25,000 unique permission limitation, and the good practice is 5,000. So you can quickly reach this limitation. So that's why, depending on the type of application, it's better to switch to CDS or to keep SharePoint. So it all depends on what you do.
So would you say, in other words, that for a more LOB app, you would build it on top of CDS, where everything around content collaboration, that would be more built on top of List and a Doclib?
That is correct. But there is also another criteria, which is the security model. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you want to authorize people to see some record in a list or in a table, whatever, the security model behind can be complicated. Mm-hmm. And that's something that are kind of complex to implement in SharePoint, because you have to play with unique permission. So you have to authorize a mixture of group and a mixture of people, and it's complicated, right? So
right.
And you doing that in CDS is way, way easier. No, in Oakdale, so in Teams, well, in Dataverse in Teams, which is free, there are also a lot of limitation in the CDS security model. So for real LOB, I think you'll have to use the real CDS, the real Dataverse, the pay CDS, the not free one. So, yeah.
So there'll be this interesting thing, like, where do you draw the line between the full-blown CDS versus Dataverse versus SharePoint lists? Like, how does that, like, exactly, like, what is the decision tree for when to go with which?
Yeah. So first, if you want to create a more collaborating application, I would say use CDS in Teams. Use Dataverse, the free version. That should be the first option. Unless you have a good reason to use SharePoint, but use CDS in Teams. No, your data could be in SharePoint as well. So you can have a mixture of document in SharePoint, but still you want to store relational data in CDS. Okay, so you can have a mixture, hybrid application, Teams and SharePoint. Now, if you have a lot of data to manage, because there is a limitation in the free version of CDS, I think it's 1 or 2 gigabytes, right? Something like that, which is a lot, actually, if you just have records, which is not a lot if you want to put attachment.
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Attachment, don't forget attachment. So calculation is complicated. Do you have a lot of attachment? Do you have just rows? If you just have rows, then the free CDS is okay. If you have attachment, then it probably won't be okay. So you can still use it, but store your document in document library in a secure way in SharePoint, right? Now, next is a security model. If you have a complex security model, I would say use the pay version of CDS. Okay. Hmm? There is another option, which is SQL Azure.
Right. Yes.
And one of the reasons for using SQL Azure instead of CDS is storage in CDS, it's more expensive than in SQL Azure, way more expensive. So,
but isn't there, so when you want to go with SQL in Azure, like, isn't there a separate licensing edge to it?
Yeah, it's a different licensing, but usually cheaper than the one in CDS.
Okay.
But you have, of course, you have to manage your own database yourself.
Yes.
Everything is fully managed. You don't have to care about how many databases you have, all this thing. It's fully managed behind Microsoft.
Kind of makes sense, because behind of the scenes, if you think about the abstraction layers, CDS is a more abstract rather than SQL Server, in the same way as logic apps in Azure versus Flows or Power Automate, right? So behind of the scenes, they might be taking advantage of it, but still.
Yeah, absolutely. For instance, the limitation, you can not use stored procedure in CDS, even though behind CDS, it's SQL Azure, thing like this. Yeah. But most people don't need that. They can create flows for doing that.
Yes, right. Exactly. So how did you ended up, so you moving, let's go back in a historical thing. So how did you ended up actually moving in and getting interested on the Power Platform? What was the, do you remember? You said that you freaked out on the SharePoint adding model, which is understandable. A lot of people did. And then you're like, no, I don't want to do it. Well, I don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. I'm just going to walk away.
To be honest, it's all started with the sandbox.
Yeah, there we go. Which is understandable as well. Yes.
Yeah. Actually, there is a sandbox in Dynamics 365, by the way, and that works.
I know. I know.
But no, the real reason is that I've always been interested into workflows in general. So I spent a lot of time in the early release of Workflow Foundation in .NET and in SharePoint back in the days, in 2006 and 2007. So workflow was something that I really liked and was interested. And then when Microsoft proposed a new workflow model, then I jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
So for
and
me,
that was Power Automate or Microsoft Flow at the time.
Yes, it was Flow and then Power Automate. And yes. So for me, that's important because I like managing complex business process and creating application on top of that. Yes.
Before we go to articles, there's one more thing I wanted to ask, right? So if you look at where we currently stand with Microsoft 365, Power Platform, and catering more to Power users, what is the one thing on top of your mind that Microsoft could improve at?
What's missing?
Well, I wouldn't say missing, but what can we do better?
The first part of your question is, it's not just a Power user, right? So you see more and more developers using the Power Platform. And I'm a developer, so I was a .NET and C++ developer, and I really like using the Power Platform because it's easier and you can quickly get something, a prototype that you can show your customer, and customer can make some, ask for more modification, et cetera. So in the whole life cycle, you can go faster.
Yep.
However, there are some law of physics, which is if your application become more complex, you need to follow some pattern and good practices. And I would say that we need more information about how to use this good pattern and good practices in the Power Platform in general. Mm-hmm. Because even though you can create Kleenex application quite easily, at some point, you need some kind of discipline and industry-proven practice. Yeah. So, and that's something that we expect more from Microsoft, I think. It's not just technology, it's more good practice patterns, development patterns, and
basically, so would you say that it's exactly the same, like, I can really easily write an app, press F5, and it works. But then it's a different thing to have it in production where you need to have logging, exception handling, telemetry, and so forth and so on. Would you say these are the things that could have been done more easily or you would expect to get from us to tell like what are the right ways of doing that in Flow and Power Apps?
Yeah, I would expect first more guidance, more documentation about good practice. If you want to do this, I think this pattern can help you. And this is how we would implement ourselves. So we recommend this kind of implementation. Mm-hmm. So today, it all comes from the community. So, I mean, some customer doubt because it's not really from Microsoft, so it's not official. So there are some doubts. So we need to spend more time into explaining this and convincing people or customer. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. The other thing, we want to see examples. So we want to see real implementation, real complex implementation. So reference implementation, if you want, and good example. I think that's something that is missing because we see more and more developers. And people create a lot of application, quick and dirty application, that have a lot of security holes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you deploy the application and then how do you know that the bad people won't access the bad data? Huh. I mean, there are security risks. Huh? So that's why I call that law of physics, because that's law of logic. I mean, and so it's not about technology. It's more about practices.
Yeah. But then at the same time, we need to remember that it's not like Microsoft really develops stuff for the customers, right? Because Microsoft engineers
do, right? I mean, there are
certain Microsoft, but it's a subset of people.
So
the people who actually write the Power Platform or Microsoft Teams platform or the SharePoint or OneDrive platform or Graph, they don't actually write stuff for the customers. So quite often, actually, what happens is that there's more real world learnings from the community because they've actually gone through
the real.
Well,
and I guess it's like with everything else, right? So like the I love the dynamic of it, right? So one, there is this side of how things are intended to be used, meant to be used, and then the reality here is like, what do we need to do in the field? And then when you join these two, then you have a real pattern, like seeking the balance or the limits of what is meant to be used, yep, versus what we actually need, and how do you push the boundaries of that, like really trying to do things like auth or scaling or loops or complex things that aren't really there in product, but maybe they are, like you're like at the very edge of what you can do. And I think that these things, like marrying the two, like that, yes, will lead to the real world patterns and practices that you can use in projects.
Exactly. This is what we have in the PNP, actually. That's what you provide. And that's what we had since the early release of PNP as well, if you remember. So we had pattern for testing, pattern for doing a lot of things. So unit testing, if I remember.
Yep. Service locators and other things. Yes.
Yes.
That's a slightly different set of PNP than the M3 65 PNP. But anyway, so. Yeah.
However, I think through PNP, maybe should think about providing more guidance around Power Platform and how it's meant to be used. Yeah.
And together with Power Platform engineering and all of that stuff. But now,
community,
coming back on search, what you said related on more and more actual developers move to the Power Platform as well. So how do you see right now, at least there's a perception that the Power Platform is really mainly designed to be used in the tenant where you actually built the application. So you're kind of you don't have a proper CD, CI, automation and deployment and all of that stuff. Is that still the case, or are we seeing a transition on the other side? Because correct me if I'm wrong, it's more like in-house development. Well, obviously a consultant can do in-house development for the tenant as well, but still. Is that a limiting factor still? Or what's your thinking on this?
Yes, it's a limiting factor. Well, it depends. So technically, we have the tool for deploying the application from one tenant, one environment, from dev, test, UAT, and production. So technically, we have that. These tools work very well for when you deal with the CDS, but not when you deal with SharePoint. Because when you deal with SharePoint, all the list GUID, list URL, etc., have to be replaced.
Yeah. Yep.
So I did create a flow that updates that for you. So for instance, in the BPM toolkit, I have 51 flows. And when I have to deploy that, because I use trial tenants all the time to get a lot of test users account, when I have to deploy that, it usually took me at least one day.
Wow.
Now it takes me 20 minutes by using this tool. But still, it's a custom tool. It's not for Microsoft, right? So that's something that would be shared. But to answer your question, I think many people are still writing the application in place, so in production, and then they share when it's ready.
Yep.
Okay. But I think we are still in the early phase of adoption of this Power Platform. We see a bit more people create more complex applications, so they have the life cycle issue.
Yeah.
So we see that more and more. But one of the blocking factors is indeed the problem with SharePoint. So for the SharePoint application, that's an issue. For the CDS, that's fine. So it all depends on the audience. It all depends. There are actually two communities in the Power Platform. The Dynamics one, and let's say the SharePoint one. I mean, that's two different communities that actually are merging more and more. So they're getting closer and closer, right? So, but still, they're two different type of customer, the Office 365 customer and the Dynamic customers.
Yeah.
So I think the Dynamics people are more mature. And that's, of course, easy because the CDS has everything to deploy that from different environments. So they have the lifecycle tool. But the SharePoint is still a bit blocking. So,
What about actually on that topic? And I will need to get to the articles in a second because we don't want to go overboard. But what about then store? Do we have a store option for the Power Platform? We have that for Power Automate. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can actually buy a connectors. What about Power apps? Can I develop a Power app and install that from the store?
I haven't done that, but you can share your application on a place. I don't remember the name exactly, but I think you can share that. I think it's AppSource. Yes. I was looking for the name. You can share it in AppSource. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But it's not clearly the primary way of delivering solutions at for time being in
platform. Guess there are two sides, right? Because you still have templates, right? So there is the connector and template, and you could say that the connector, for you to be able to use the connector, so you can have the whole app for free, but in order to be able to use the connector, that requires a license which you need to purchase with a vendor.
Yes, that's correct. Yes, you can go through the vendor to get a license. Yes.
But of course, that's for Flow, right? That's for
the
power.
The connectors are exactly the same
for apps.
It's
a shared technology. Yes, it's a shared technology.
That's good to know as well. Because I'm not a deep dive on the Power Platform. So
exactly. Packages, huh? You can take your package, put it somewhere in the website, and people can pay to get it. Huh? So yes.
Yeah.
So we have packages as well. So coming from the Dynamics world, so they look like the master of this packaging thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's do some
different team at Microsoft working on the packaging thing because packaging is very complicated. So
and everybody has their own way of implementing things because why would you share your learnings? Or
of course.
The classical not invented in here problem. So
having worked on a product in the past, there is also the thing like you don't want to wait on somebody else. You don't want to take dependency on other things.
Because that
blocks you. So you want to move. Somebody else will change their mind or they change priority and you decided to wait on them? Well, you don't then have nothing. So it's a hard, really hard thing to balance. It's not as simple as that. You know what? One Microsoft, how about we get all of us a table, we come up with one model across the board. Like, no, that's not going to work.
That's true.
But still we have SharePoint connectors and still we have other connectors being built, which is good.
Absolutely.
So we're getting there gradually.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like pushing the cart like every day a little. Progress every day a little.
Absolutely. Now let's do some articles. So let me share my screen and walk through what has happened within the past week. And we're gonna talk about by the way, Serge Luca, about the Power Platform toolkit as well. You need to explain what it is because we touched it, but we didn't have an article on it. And if there's, let's see if we can find a good location for the introduction. Now, some articles from Microsoft. So building and managing amazing Teams app. This came out on last week ago, Monday, 16th. So basically update on what's happening within the platform level. And the big thing for Microsoft is basically now the meeting apps. So you can actually before and during and after the meeting, you can actually collaborate inside of the team, Microsoft Teams, with this application. So it could be the monday.com, it could be something else, or surveys and all of that stuff. A really big bet for sure. New Teams Fluent UI and Design Kit coming. So basically designs and usability. There is a, how would I put this in a not confusing way? There's actually, interesting enough, there's even GitHub repos which have controls, which people would be able to use, but we haven't actually done a proper job of explaining where the controls are. So I was in a few meetings last week and we had an interesting discussion where people are like, hey, we have all of this stuff in GitHub. And then you go to the GitHub, you go to the repo, and it doesn't even say what's inside of the repo. So we as a Microsoft, we need to learn how to do open source and share and communicate. So,
so these are controls that are meant to be used with Teams apps?
This is design kit, but yes, there are controls which are intended to be used in a Teams app as a layout, as an example, a dashboard control and all of that stuff. So there's reusable controls, not related on this thing, but it is an area where we are actively investing together with Fluent UI team. So not just design kits, but also controls.
Okay.
Microsoft Teams Toolkit, updates on that one. I think the latest update will come out this week, unless I'm completely mistaken. So there's new updates on that one. SharePoint Framework is evolving as well. So you can target on Microsoft Teams or in a SharePoint Framework side, Graph APIs and all of that stuff. So a lot of improvements on this area. Now, the other thing which went live last week is low-code apps and bots in Microsoft Teams with Power Apps and Power Virtual Agents. So we didn't talk about Power Virtual Agents in the thing, but basically, the Power Platform is a first-party citizen. It's a first-level citizen of implementing extensibility for Microsoft Teams. So they really have a nice integration. And I was testing some of their stuff last week as well, and the Power Virtual Agents is super powerful. It's just really, really powerful, and how easy it is to actually build bots and all of that stuff. So really cool. good recap on those things as well. Now, protecting your data, create a secure and compliant Microsoft Teams environment. So this is it's good to have two articles, which is around extensibility, and then an article which says, hey, by the way, remember to do those in a secure way.
This is safe, yes.
Exactly. Coming back on the patterns and practices and learnings and remember how to things implement in a safe way. So really cool stuff as well. A good article listing all of the assets which are available. What else? Microsoft Teams App Development Challenge was announced a week ago Monday as well. There is a prizes
cool.
Up to 45%, 45,000 in cash. So,
wow.
That's a lot of money, actually, from November 16th to February 8th. So if anybody has good ideas, please sign up and build a cool thing and then expose that as part of the program. Really cool stuff. Few deprecation notices, really important things. So deprecation of Outlook REST APIs, it is going to be deprecated by November 10th. So 12 months deprecation notice.
November 30, 2022. So it's 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
12 wow, months. 2 years. Yes.
Oh, 2 years. Wow.
Yes. 2 years.
Oh, which year is it?
It's March, the 500th.
March 2020. Yes,
we have a few months.
Wow, that is a good notice, because then there's a deprecation of Microsoft Crash Notification APIs also February 1st, 2021. So that's pretty soon. And that's a good thing to be aware of as well. Now, manage Microsoft Dataverse in Teams environments. Can you search, explain what is a Microsoft Dataverse?
Yes, actually, I haven't been through this article, but I think we have all the tools we need to manage the environment that we create in Teams. So when people create an application in Teams with the Power Platform, they get an environment, etc. So this need to be managed. So we need to authorize people to create application and then environment. We need to put some DLP rules. We need to put some. We need to be able to manage capacity, because, as you know, it's the database behind it's CDS, so it's free, but there is a limitation of, I think it's 2 giga, I think. So people need to be able to manage that. So that's something that now we have, apparently. So I haven't used that yet, so these last tools. But that's very important. That's something that the community was asking for.
Yep.
Since of this.
So really having a governance on the environment makes perfect sense. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's very cool, yes. But it looks cool, because I haven't used that yet.
good disclaimer. Now, a few other news from Microsoft from last week. Waldeck, you can actually recap this one. So what
Absolutely.
Is this all about?
So on December 16, my team is going to organize a 2-hour live stream event around building apps for Teams. So you will go from 0 to 100 about what Teams apps are, why would you care, how to start, and then as we go along, you will learn how these things work. We will code together with you, with other folks online. So it will be a fun event by developers for devs. So yep. I really would like to invite everybody to join us.
Yeah, there's a small typo
there.
Many
nice people there.
Program. Yes. Program manager, not a project manager. Program manager.
That's program. Yes, program.
Yes. But yeah, so that's really good. On 16th of December, and you can sign in or register there, download an invite, and so
but
really cool setup.
That's for real dev, not for Power Platform dev, right?
Well, so as we learned, the boundaries blur, right? So it's like think it's always good to learn like what's possible, and then like find whether you're comfortable doing that or whether that's going too far, right? Because in the past we had these like gates where you say like I am a dev, I am not a dev, but with all these tools, like you would say, okay, so if you build Power App, like formulas you have in there can be pretty big, right? So is that being a dev? Like I've seen people build like full games with physics in Power Apps. Like I would never be able to do that. So Power Apps are actually for devs, because like you can do like really powerful things in there, right? So with that, I think that there's the whole thing, like where do you draw the line? So with that, we want to really start at the beginning and just show like what these apps are and decide and let you choose whether that's something you want to try, you want to do, or whether it's something like, maybe that is like one step too far now.
Yeah. Good. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Good. What was this one? Locate your loved ones and build better driving habits for Microsoft safety. So new apps and features in Microsoft Individuals and Family this fall. So basically, free edition of Microsoft Teams was mentioned here as well. And then the Microsoft Family Safety, so you can actually follow up on what's happening and having that control. Money. Where's the Microsoft Teams sync there? Easily share photos. This is actually pretty cool as well. Form, okay, focus on conversations instead of your notes, survey and quiz, Microsoft Forms. So a lot of stuff. Actually, this wasn't the Microsoft Teams announcement. What? I thought that it was that one. But there's a Microsoft Teams, free Microsoft Teams option as well. But this is a good set of basically controls for the family and tools, which are free for the most of it, at least. So really cool stuff as well. Now, Bill Baer had a good article from last week, what is Microsoft Search? So really explaining what is the Microsoft Search, what does it actually do? And it's actually great to see and that it's actually being everything inside of Microsoft under the one umbrella. So we're really getting rid of this. We have too many competing applications, which is really good. So
I mean,
more clarity.
The apps are there, right? But from a user point of view, I don't care whether. So if I look for something, yes. I don't want to think about, is there a file that I created? So was it a PowerPoint deck or was it an Excel?
Exactly.
No, let me search. Let me search in single place.
And it's the same search. Yes, yeah. And it's the same search and same results in one single place. And the experience is consistent. So really cool as well.
Yes.
This one is a video series article, Microsoft Tips and Tricks. This is more for the end user base.
The users,
so
correct.
How to blur and background in Microsoft Teams and all of that stuff. Really cool videos as well. And a relatively new set of videos. But this, what's really nice about this is that these are super short, which is easily consumable. So whenever you're looking to do explicit at one thing, you'll just find it and good to go and move forward. And then search your YouTube channel. There's a video related on Power Platform BMB, BBM toolkit. Is there something else which will explain what this is and what is it all about?
Oh, I can share my screen to go to the point. Summarize.
That's fine. That's
can
fine.
I do that? Can I do that?
Yeah. Okay. Well, actually, search. Let's do the articles first, and then we'll jump on
your screen. Let's do that.
We need to speed up slightly, so that's good. Few new samples in the GitHub as well. So this is from Joao Mendes. Yes, really, really. He's always building super, super clean stuff. So basically, that's the pages or files. And then in here, it's a navigation, which is basically based on the file structure. So you're kind of based on metadata, building a navigation, which is listing the files and the thing. And the implementation is super, super clean with a background image and the background style support. The second sample, which came out last week as well, is from Don Kirkham on updates and a few other ones. Alex and Arthur has done here. Don basically updated that to 1.11 version, a section aware reported, with Don. So basically background section aware behavior and listing elements. So really cool to have examples available which help on everybody to adapt and the learnings. How to deploy your team's generated project to Azure through Azure DevOps from Victor Villain. So really cool stuff as well. Your Teams is one of the development platforms for Microsoft Teams. It is pro developers, so it's actually using the industry web stack development tooling, TypeScript, and all of that. And not a competition for Teams toolkit, rather a additional tool and option.
Different tool, absolutely.
Different tool. And there are different set of people using different tooling, again, based on their preference. And this is really around the CDCI for setting up automated builds for that tool. Now, Stefan had a awesome, he continues on writing stories related on the web parts, including Microsoft Teams tabs when you build an SPFX. So how the section backgrounds and theming actually works and how to take advantage of that one and how you should be implementing this. This is super, super cool stuff. Also takes into account the Microsoft Teams experience. So Teams theming. This one is from Kev Ritchie, Microsoft Craft First Steps. Good article as well. We always tend to go deep dive, 400 level, technical nuances, but end users always want to have 100 level getting started and then learning from there. And there's always more people who are getting started rather than those who are really, really deep on the technology. So really getting started on basics and how do you do that? Three more, Microsoft Power Apps, Canvas Apps for the Zero to Hero from Peter
Venstra.
Venstra, yes.
And I like Peter, it's very nice. Very nice guy.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely as well. And walking through that, those steps and a video as well. And then we, from the recording, Alex had a how much security is enough security, looking at Microsoft 365 Defender versus Azure Sentinel. Interesting discussion as well, for sure. How much do you want to, well, what is the good enough security?
The balance
between,
right, yeah.
Exactly. And then a good kind of a summary on different assets and resources available from Cameron. Five ways to stay up to date with Microsoft 365 Developer News and calling out the podcasts, websites, and then community call recordings and the YouTube channels and Twitter. So super nice set of assets which are available. But now, Serge, let's jump on your screen. You had something cool to show as well.
Yeah. I can explain what it is. What is this thing? If you want, how long do you have?
4 minutes.
It is dependent on your availability.
Four minutes. Okay, I'm fine. So the idea was the following. So when you have to deal with approval, so because approval is the tip of the iceberg, when you deal with approval, creating a simple approval with Power Automate is quite easy, right? So, but sometime, if you have to ask several people to approve, then new problem pop up. Because what happened if the first person doesn't answer? What happened if the person is in holidays? How can she redirect the task, et cetera, et cetera? So how can we make sure that the data that you want to approve is secure? So basically, you are getting into the BPM territory. You might not be aware of that, but there are a lot of traps behind approval. So you have approval, you have reviewing, et cetera. And in the Power Platform, so especially in Power Automate, there are many, many limitations. So for instance, the approval, so the workflow, which is listening for someone to approve, stopped after 30 days. You cannot get backward, you cannot go subroot, et cetera. You don't have state machine. So after several years of struggling with complex approval and reviewing, I decided to create my own stuff. And that's basically what the BPM toolkit is. So it's a free thing that I will share in GitHub at the end of this month and maybe beginning of December. And the idea is this. So it must be 100% written with the Power Platform. Must be free, of course, because it's going to be in GitHub. Business should be able to create their own workflow. They don't have to write code. They should be able to get somewhere in the SharePoint list and create the workflow. And then something will happen. We need state machine. So people will need to be able to go back, forward, and backward across the business process. If you want to change a workflow, even though the business process already started, you must be able to do that. There's no duration limit in the workflow. We have one in Power Automate. People must be able to delegate their task to someone else. We must be able to create custom task form. So when people click on task, they should be able to have different kind of layout. Security is also very important. Everything should be visual. Also very important, people want an integration with robotic process. Okay, so it's part of BPM toolkit. And very important, people don't want to buy premium license. So that's why I did provide this tool. Because anytime you want to do something with Power Platform, which is nice, at some point you need to buy a premium license. So for 6,000 employees, that can be expensive sometimes.
Yeah.
So and basically, let me show you the demo here quickly. I still have 1 minute, right?
Yeah, exactly. So while you run it, can I propose a new name? I call it the Holy Grail of Approval.
Yeah, thank you. But it's more than approval. It's also reviewing.
Okay. It's the Holy Grail of Approval and Approving.
And the reviewing, yeah. Basically, what you are
reviewing, yeah.
There is a name. It's BPM. So let's say someone create a form, example, an HR request. They store the form somewhere, and then the business process starts. And at the end, what people want to be able to do is they want to see the whole business process. They want to see something like this. Yep. You see? So we can see that, hey, the request start here. You see, it's orange. And then the next step will be this guy or this team, this guy or this team, et cetera, et cetera. So we must be able to follow the complex business process. We must be able to get more additional information about the business process itself. We must be able to secure the old line, because behind this, you can have 10 person who need to be able to approve. So only these 10 person need to get access to the data. So we must be able to take a business process and be able to work on it. Okay, so now I'm the owner of this business process. And now, for instance, I'm part of this team and I should be able to approve or reject or put a comment. I have roles, you can see I'm part of different roles. I can put a message to my team. I can do plenty of things. I can redirect that to another steps. So I can say, I want this to get back to step zero. So I want to go to step zero, which is basically what we call a state machine.
Right.
And we don't have that in Power Automate. I mean, you can only go forward. You cannot get backward, you see, which in complex business process is an issue. So I've put that in a platform. I've put that in a generic platform, which ran in this version on top of SharePoint, which means that basically you don't have to buy any premium license because it's part of SharePoint. You see? So you see now the workflow is waiting on this step.
Yeah.
So and so all this state machine, task management, review pipeline, security management is part of the platform. Now, I've shown that to the Power Automate team, and they were very enthusiastic about this. And one of the first remark was, how can you integrate that with robotic process? So if you know robotic process, is the process where a backend service can call an application running on a desktop. And why do we want to do that? We want to do that because for some application, we don't have any API. Okay, so we have legacy application, there's no API. So we must be able to reproduce the behavior of a human somewhere. Okay. And now in this platform, we have an integration with RPA. So you can create your workflow somewhere. Let me show you where. It's in SharePoint. So everything is SharePoint. And
quote, okay. Quote, everything's in SharePoint.
In this version, yes.
Quote, yeah.
Yeah, in this version, yes, everything is SharePoint. Example. Let me show you how you can define a workflow. You can define your workflow in a SharePoint list. I call that meta workflow. And you can say, hey, I want to create this type of workflow. This is the name of my workflow. Mass is Maastricht, by the way. And you can say, hey, step zero, this team must be able to, in this case, it's a feedback. So it's not a proof, it's a review. The next step will be actors. So if you provide a set of humans' email address, this will be split in different steps. This is this team, this is this team. This step here, we want to be able to generate a document based on information coming from before, and then we'll move to this step. So you can define that in a SharePoint list. And when you submit information in a case or a request, there is what I call a workflow generator that will analyze this, generate steps in the SharePoint list, and that is a step you see here. That's a step you see here.
Yeah.
See? So we have defined an architecture which is very generic on top of that. And there is a nice pattern behind this, which is what we call a case management pattern. And thanks of this pattern, we have all the things that we need for managing business process, state machine, approval, RPR, robotic, everything. So it's a COVID-19 byproduct because I started working on it. So there are some good sides.
Powered by COVID.
Yep.
Yeah. So I did that for one of my customers. But this BPM generic tool is going to be free and shared on GitHub.
Cool.
Yep.
And next step really is cool. Implement that on top of Teams and on top of the free CDS. You see?
Yep.
Nice. So,
yep.
This is the pattern.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Now let's actually close up then for this week. So anything interesting happening this week other than finalizing BPM toolkit and anything else happening this week, what we can talk about? It's Thanksgiving week, so for me, no meetings on evenings.
Thanks.
No, that means you can really work, right?
That's... Exactly. Exactly. Well, I do have meetings with China and India teams during daytime, but no meetings in the evenings, which is brilliant. So really good.
From the technology point of view, I don't see any great news.
Yeah, so from this week, if you think about this week, Redmond is basically being asked to be on vacation the whole week. So I think everybody I think it's actually a great way of handling in the Microsoft level that they're encouraging people to take this week off in Redmond because prioritizing family and then having a slow December and then time off again in holiday so that whenever we hopefully get back in full steam business in January, February timeframe, everybody is not like, I'm so tired. Rather like, yes, I'm willing to jump in and now I'm ready to execute. So that's the mentality there. Anything, Waldeck, what's happening on your side? You're working on the Learn thingy?
Correct. So we have the final preps for the event, finishing demos, recordings. Other than that, looking around for different things where we can improve around Graph and Teams. Working on CLI. So like... just normal business in the early, yeah, exactly. Like full plate, full steam ahead.
So the CLI is still your pet project?
It is. And I guess like at this point, it's more than just a pet project, right? So currently we have six maintainers, I think. There's a team of 50 odd folks who help us. So it's more than that. It's grew out of proportions already a while back. Like I recall when originally... like it would start exactly as that, as a pet project with two commands, working on a Mac. Like it just that, like me being the only guy doing it. And now almost 3 years forward, it's way bigger than that.
Yes.
Yep. It is a really good example of a successful open source project. So those learnings are really worthwhile because there's multiple ways of doing open source. Like I referenced on the one of those control repos, which I wasn't unaware until last week when in a meeting where somebody says, we have all of these awesome controls available. It's like, where? It's open source, it's in GitHub, sure. But where? So there's multiple ways of doing open source. But yeah, so but CLI has a really nice model of executing and promoting the other people and building a team. So maybe something for PBI toolkit as well.
Yes,
so
first step is I need to ship it in the next two weeks, and then we'll see exactly. Yes. Yeah, and I would need help. Yes, absolutely.
And everybody is obviously here to help as much as possible. But I think that's it for now. So we're slightly over the time, planned time, but that's quite typical, actually.
So okay for my next meeting.
So thank you everybody for watching and listening, and depending on which format you're using, and we'll be back with the new PMP Weekly within a week. So thank you, Serge, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Serge. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Valdez.
Cheers.